Hello, everybody. Welcome to Shake Them Ropes. This is Shake Them Ropes, episode 187. Rob McCarron here. Jeff Hawkins to come shortly. Follow the show on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. You can follow me on Twitter at Mick Listens. That's MCLISTENS. Follow Jeff at CrapGame13. Catch all of our episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Shake Them Ropes. This episode brought to you by Mack Weldon. Shop Mack Weldon right now this holiday season and save 20% off your first order at MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. The website is a breeze to use, guys. So if you're shopping for yourself or for others, go to MackWeldon.com right now. They will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, and hoodies that you will ever wear. Get it right now. MackWeldon.com. Promo code VOICES to save 20% off. Shake Them Ropes, episode 187 starts now.
Rob McCarron. Jeff Hawkins.
Is it? Can it be? It is! The phenomenal one is here! AJ Styles!
Oh my God!
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
It has been rumored for weeks that the hottest free agent in sports entertainment was heading to WWE. Styles is here!
You wish to be anonymous? I wish to be left alone, said Scrooge. Since you ask me what I wish, gentlemen, that is my answer. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry either. Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Today on Shake Them Ropes, the UK gets a champ. On SmackDown, has anyone had more highs and lows this year than Zack Ryder? On Raw, it's Bros Before Hoes with Enzo and Cass, Team Before the Individual for KO and Jericho, and Death Before Dishonor for Sami Zayn. Emelina's been coming for 5 weeks now, and even Peter North thinks that's enough. Speaking of men and women of stamina, Roadblock, End of the Line brings us an Iron Woman match, where the go-home show had no women in sight, and our top 100 match is an Iron Man match from WrestleMania 12. Before I get to Rob, in the area of critical commentary, Tom Cassiello, reported to be the number 3 in WWE Creative, was fired last week. Now, from a writer's point of view, I understand his lack of making it a big deal. In creative fields, longevity is a luxury. In Hollywood, screenwriter is seen as, well, quite frankly, the most disposable of the driving forces of a project. I lost my first and best job a few weeks in because a temperamental star and executive producer with a substance abuse problem fired half the staff just on a whim. This is the life we chose, and I eventually chose to leave for a steady paycheck. Oh, hold on.
You're hitting a little too close to home yourself, aren't you?
You're bringing yourself down a little bit. No, I'm not. I get his point of view. But in the WWE, they don't even get that credit. That's for Vince McMahon. And even without my criticism of him as a showrunner of any vision on a professional television product or a culture that asks, I mean, it doesn't. The culture doesn't have out-of-the-box thinking, collaborating to build each other's ideas up. Quite frankly, firing someone in the holiday season is a shitty move. Firing someone as a scapegoat for lack of planning and marketing a main event, as is rumored, is even shittier. Vince McMahon is not one for sentimentalism, Rob, unless it means box office, and he likes to think he and his product lives day to day and in the now. And as a recent Vice article will confirm, McMahon says, treat every day like you're first. And his product shows if you're not the top guy, that's pretty much the norm. As if run with the mindset of a college kid who once got a B on a term paper he did at the last second, and now everything is that way because the stress and adrenaline of a deadline was what obviously made it so good. If Cassiello's relieved to be gone, more power to him. If he's happy, even better. If there's an anti-disparagement clause in his contract, which is all the rage in reality TV world these days, I wouldn't be the least surprised. Rob McCarron, the floor is yours.
Oh, what have I done to win a brand new floor?
I feel like I filibustered enough there. It was so weird reading everybody's reaction to the Cassiello firing, especially how he took it. They're like, really? It's like, okay, great. But I get the mindset. I mean, I lasted, what, 4 years as a writer, 5 years, something like that. And, you know, I went from job to job and there was no stability in there. And if you got, you know, career longevity, it's a luxury for the most part. I mean, even on shows, you're like, are we going to get renewed like about four episodes in?
Yeah, you want to know what my reaction to Tom, whatever his name is, getting fired?
Free at last, free at last.
No, who cares?
Yeah, I get that.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares because the writers are beholden to the showrunner, and the showrunner is the guy who makes all the decisions. There's no real writing there. I know, I get that. I get that too. I just, from a writer's point of view, I more or less understood why he was kind of nonchalant in some ways, but also a bit of skepticism. It kind of for me, the most angry part was that he's taking the fall for this Hell in the Cell build, which isn't on him at all.
I don't even think that's what's happening.
Okay.
Because
you think somebody just decides to fire somebody during the holidays just because? Because I mean, it's much more believable to me about the build than it was that he was anti-Trump, which was the dumbest story I think that came out of this.
See, I believe the anti-Trump more than anything else.
Oh, do you? Okay, fair.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't believe their story, but I would believe the anti-Trump more than Hell in a Cell's bill. I mean, look at the pay-per-views they've had the last several months.
Let me quantify.
Hell, they may main event with the same match again here.
Oh, I think they are
4 days.
I think they are. I think they're going to do the Iron Man match, and then they're going to say, "Well, why didn't it do better? Didn't we build this as an Iron Man? You built it as an Iron Man a week out, 2 weeks out. Get out of here with that business." No, you know what I think? I believe the Trump story more if you told me someone said that he was anti-Trump and that's why he got fired, as opposed to him being anti-Trump. I'd more base it on rumor and saying, well, you know, he has these feelings, don't you? And doing that. But still, you know, firing someone in December, a week away from Christmas, dick move. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the timing, yes. The timing is could have been better. could have been a little bit better. But that's what happened. But yeah, I don't think anyone cares about – I mean, no one really cares about a writer being let go, and I don't think anyone really cares the reason either. I mean, I think there's a small portion of people who, oh, this is what's happening this week. Let's blow it out of proportion just because, or let's make a story of it because that's what we do. We make a story of the smallest things.
Well, I think it was his level of being in the company. If he's purported to be the number three in creative, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, for them.
Yeah.
Not for me as someone who's watching the show.
Not for you as a fan, but for us as critical commentators, yes. I mean, it's stuff to talk about. Let's move on to what you want to talk about then. Tino?
Maybe
is Tino going to be in the UK Classic?
No. No. American football star Tino Sabatelli is not going to be in the UK Classic. We'll talk about the UK Classic. Actually, I do have I have Tino Sabatelli coming up later in the NXT Power Rankings. Just so you know.
Oh, dear God.
Spoiler alert. No, we have there's much bigger stories. Emma, obviously, is a bigger story. Delaying the return. She was scheduled to she was advertised to show up on Raw. Didn't happen. She's just premiering soon. We're back to the premiering soon. So it may be a couple of more weeks. Who knows? And not even that's part of the story now, because then you add on SmackDown on Tuesday, her boyfriend, Zack Ryder, getting hurt. Mm-hmm. So not only were they on two different shows, but now one's coming back from injury while the other one's just starting an injury. So maybe it's better that way, right? That one of them's off the road.
No.
Instead of them both being on the road on different shows.
Not for Zack Ryder, who's about to get a push, even though they're going to get crushed in this tag team title match. I mean, there's no denying they're going to get crushed, but
they're not going to be in it anymore.
No. But I mean, okay, if he had stayed healthy.
Zack Ryder's out for nearly a year.
Yes. Okay. But if it had started, it would have been at least a little bit of visibility. Whereas in his year, he starts out, he wins the Intercontinental title for one day and then just gets clowned out of it the next night. You know, he gets put on a brand not with his girlfriend, and then it's like, oh, here you go, we're gonna throw you this little carrot, and then he gets injured on that night. It's just, I mean, I don't think it's better in any way.
And maybe not for his career, but for them as a couple, possibly, because they were never gonna see each other if they were on the road on two different shows. They were gonna see each other at the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, and that was it. And now one of them's off the old road at home, ready and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it may be. But
which male superstar does Emelina get stuck with then on the road now that the boyfriend's at home?
Well, hopefully none.
I know I'm being facetious, Rob.
Yes, good one. But hopefully none. Yeah, because that would suck. That would suck if they're putting her. First of all, not even for the relationship aspect of her and Zach, just because you shouldn't be bringing in these women just to be paired with men all the time. Emelina can stand on her own. The only pairing she should be paired with or made of is Dana Brooke. Put that pairing back together, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen, which is fine. I'm interested to see what this Emelina is.
I don't disagree.
We have to wait one more week.
I don't disagree with any of that. I just think she'll probably be a disco dancing dinosaur from a planet Funkasaurus with Ernest Miller's music.
Yeah, any chance they just pull the old Brodus Clay out here. You expect Emelina to be one thing, and then she's a completely different thing.
Exactly.
When she finally shows up.
I'm starting to think it, because that's the same running joke that they did with Brodus Clay. They advertise him as this big monster, and then he comes out in a tracksuit doing hip-hop dancing. So
Yeah. Which, honestly, was much better for him than what would have happened.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah, because who needs another? I mean, look at Albert when he came back as Tensai. Who needs just another, you know, run-of-the-mill silent bruiser?
Okay, great. We'll get Dancing Emma back.
Well, I'm not saying you do the exact same thing, but and it's not even an argument about Emma. Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do, but something could be happening there. Maybe she ends up going to SmackDown and all this was a ruse, if you will. I don't know. Maybe they don't have a plan. Obviously they don't, because if they had a plan, they would have done it.
Speaking of SmackDown, if I could trade you for 10 Eva Maries, I certainly would, and I'd never leave the house.
You would trade me for one. Be real.
Yeah, what
like
would
someone's
be mine?
Negotiating with you? Jeff, we'll give you 9. No, I'm going to hold out for that 10th. Fine, you drive a hired bargain, kid.
Throw on a Gail Kim and we'll make it a deal.
You wouldn't have to get to the number.
Oh, it's no,
Eva Marie. Hey, we're going to give you a certain number of Eva Marie. And before they can even say the Marie, you're going to say, yes, deal.
Rob, I'd trade you for a ham sandwich at this point. So.
Whoa! Whoa! Well, that brings me to the Twitter feed at McListens. If you want to be the new host of Shake Them Rope,
co-host, you're the host.
send me a line. Either way, I'll take applications for either job. I don't care. Mm. How about that Chris Hero signing? Oh, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, some people are a little bit behind the times, but did you get any credit from anybody for that?
No, nor was I looking for any. I was just
okay. Perfect.
You know, that's why I didn't go out there on Twitter and different places and repeat it. I kept it as a little nugget for those listening to this this show. You guys knew before anyone else.
Now, do you prefer the through line? Put him directly on the main roster, maybe as Claudio's teammate or whatever. Do you prefer him in NXT, maybe, and just kind of being a brand there? Because personally, for me, I'd love to see him and Tommy N versus the Revival. You give me that every day of the week.
I don't think he's going to wrestle anymore.
Oh, you think he's just there to train? That's cool.
I'm just putting all this together and trying to see what makes sense. And, you know, Chris Hero went all out this year. He went all out this year.
Yes, he did.
And that mixing up with him no longer having any sense of needing to watch his body weight and all that. I'm just trying to think. And this guy's a masterful mind. I mean, he can work through matches and everything. He's very, very approachable, very nice guy. I think this guy knew that it was coming down to the end of him wrestling and that he had a job waiting for him if he wanted to go, and they finally made the offer and he's going back to be a coach.
Yeah, and
now,
I think,
and maybe Matt, maybe not, maybe he's gonna actually be an NXT star. I don't see him on the main roster whatsoever.
Okay. No, and I think he'll be much better off in NXT without the old regime there.
Yeah. And you got to think, and it may be 50-50. I don't know. Maybe he's going to wrestle. But I can definitely see. I would not be surprised if it's the Sarah Del Rey where she just signed to be the coach and the wrestling is over. You know,
if he's happy doing that, more power to him, man. I got no.
I think he might be. I think he might be. But yeah, you just look at the year he had and look at everything all together. Because it's not like this guy was getting in shape for another WWE run, right? I mean, it just wasn't happening.
See, I just think with NXT needing kind of that star power, I mean, at least through WrestleMania as that third brand. I mean, the NXT is here tonight, or they're about an hour outside of here. He's another name that indie fans know, and since NXT kind of caters to that, I could see them having him on the roster for a very short time.
Yeah. Yeah, and you never know who else is going to go. I mean, you had the announcement today of the UK Classic, a two-day tournament just being shown on the WWE Network. So not like the Cruiserweight Classic where it's going to be weekly for, you know, 4 months or whatever. Two-day tournament, bunch of names on the UK scene going to be a part of this. Non-exclusive deals. I mean, I'm sure they might sign one or two out of this tournament, but it's not like they're killing the UK indies. These guys are going to go back to wherever they came from.
No, the whole aspect of this is just more content for people. I mean, if it gets buzz or anything like that and Vince takes notice, then you worry. Don't worry now just yet.
It is really strange that they're putting this during the free trial period and not, you know, trying to get a couple of buys out of fans who may not be signed up to the network who might like some of the UK wrestling or whatever. It's very interesting that they're putting it as part of the free trial period.
Well, they got other streaming services now to kind of deal with that are trying to get a foot in. So I think they're just kind of giving a taste to people who may not care necessarily for the WWE product, but say, hey, you know what? We're going to throw you a bone here.
It's very flow slamish. It's very new idea for WWE Network because, I mean, they've had the special WWE shows, obviously, but this is the first one where they're actually showing a tournament of any kind or a special event kind of outside their norm, not a WWE main roster show or not an NXT special.
I will ask
very,
you this
very
question.
Very newish for them.
Yeah, I'll ask you this question. They're giving a belt to the winner. Does that belt go beyond the tournament at any point?
I think so. And I could see it on NXT. I could see it as being periodic. And because it's a belt, not a trophy.
True.
If it was a trophy, I wouldn't think anything twice. I could see whoever wins it possibly going on 205 Live. Look at the number of guys who are showing up for this thing, right? I mean, a lot of them could fit in 205 Live. So you could have two championships on the 205 Live show. You could have the British championship
and the British champion. Okay.
Why not? I mean, what else? At some point, they're going to have to start turning that show into something more than just a cruiserweight show. They
named
it 205 Live, but you're going to have to do something other than just the cruiserweight title. What else is all the guys fighting for?
I was thinking maybe
put the UK title.
You're right. Yeah, put the UK title in there, or feed him to the US champ on July 4th and USA, USA.
You got Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano as your NXT tag team champions. At some point, they should throw them a match on that 205 Live show. Defend the NXT titles. They're under 205.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, anything you want to do on that 205.
Yeah.
Although this episode was the best of them. Have you seen that one yet?
205 Live. Yeah, it was cool. You had Rich Swann wrestling in the main event. He should be the showcase player. Mm-hmm. It was nice that you didn't have Jack Gallagher and Arya Daivari again.
No,
that's always a plus.
If Gallagher does what he did last night on the main roster or on was that on Tribute to the Troops or was that on 205?
Tribute
Live?
To the Troops. Yeah.
Okay. If he does that on Raw, he'll be over like Rover.
Well, he started doing some of those things. I mean, yeah. I put some matches. He's one of the guys that I would trust on Raw that, you're not going to get a completely bored crowd. Stop focusing on Daivari. And I get the anti-Daivari stuff because he's been wrestling so often and he's kind of bland and he's a bit stereotypical.
A bit.
It's not like they give him a lot of time to talk, right? So you don't know. He's just a guy who goes out there and you're putting what his gimmick is in your own imagination. They're not telling you it. So,
they're showing you. They're not telling you. They're showing you it.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a bit stereotypical, maybe more than a bit, I guess. But I don't see it as them focusing on him. I'm just seeing, they put him out there to get Jack Gallagher even more over because you want to see this guy lose and get beat and you don't want to see him again. So when Jack Gallagher beats him, you're like, yay, it's the point, right?
Mm-hmm. We have a pay-per-view Sunday, and Raw was just not a go-home show for the pay-per-view, which is very weird, but did you enjoy it?
No, it wasn't. I don't even know what Raw was.
It was a celebration of the new day.
It was a celebration of the new day. It was very strange. You know, you have this, you had this Max Landis video going around. Did you see this Max Landis video?
I did not.
All right. So Max Landis puts out a video talking about how he was backstage at the WWE show because he works as a consultant. If you don't know who Max Landis is, at Up to My Knees on Twitter, he's a writer of movies like Chronicle and Mr. Wright, which I've my girlfriend him. And I loved.
He's a nice enough fella. I met him at PWG once or twice.
Yeah. Like he's made a couple of movies that, you know, we watched and we really liked. But anyway, he's a consultant for WWE, and he came out with this video talking about how he's backstage talking with Seth Rollins, and he was pitching ideas about, you know, the 205 Live guys and how they should interact with main roster people and how it shouldn't be kept to their own, because you want to see the universes kind of collide, and you want, as a writer, to tell the fans that, hey, at some point, these characters who you never see interact might interact. So you want to leave their mind open to it. And that was the gist, basically. And Seth Rollins comes up and says, well, who would that get over? Why? And specifically, it was talking about Braun Strowman and how he should destroy the cruiserweights at least once. Because you want to see those worlds kind of collide, the big heavyweights and the cruiserweights. So you know the cruiserweights aren't separate. And I think that was the big running joke, right? When 205 Live started and when the cruiserweight division started, like how long until Braun destroys a guy. And here you have Max Landis, who sees himself as a very big, you know, he's a writing phenomenon. He's getting jobs and jobs and jobs. And he's from the outside thinking the same thing. You should have Braun destroy a cruiserweight. And you know what? I'm not totally anti that idea, because the other part of his idea was that the cruiserweights would end up getting the top billing on Braun, that they would actually, you know, fight back and push Braun out of the ring. And you kind of have an issue of, yeah, it may take two cruiserweights to beat up the one heavyweight, but at least that one heavyweight didn't destroy the cruiserweights. So regardless, you had that video going out. You have Max Landis out there trying to get the worlds to collide. And I think that's a good idea for this 205 Live. You shouldn't have them on their own separate show. They should be a part of Raw. I wish they would do much bigger, you know, bigger things on Raw and not separated. And I forget what the original point was, so save me.
The moment Braun Strowman destroys any cruiserweight, that division is dead.
The division is dead. Sami Zayn should be a cruiserweight. Put some of these guys in the cruiserweight division. What's the harm? Sami Zayn should triumph over Braun Strowman and then champion the cruiserweight division. Why not?
I don't know. What did you think of that build?
I like the way it played out. Like, it was Mick Foley, you know, trying to motivate Sami Zayn. Yeah, it was fine. It's Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman. I don't know what they're going to do, because is Sami Zayn the guy you're going to finally put over Braun Strowman this close to WrestleMania? I don't think so.
No, and that's what, why it doesn't make sense, is to, oh, I'm going to get him fired up. It's going to be that he lasted 10 minutes. How brave is he? And you're just like, okay, great. That means actually this is a test more of Braun Strowman than Sami Zayn. Braun has to be interesting for 10 minutes against Sami Zayn. I don't think he can do it.
Yeah, 10-minute time limit. You have a match on the show that's going to be a 30-minute time limit, Iron Man. And then a 10-limit time limit match, a 10-minute.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting in itself. Maybe it's a draw. Maybe it ends up being a draw, and Sami Zayn gets the moral victory because he lasted 10 minutes.
No, that's exactly what it's going to be. No, that's exactly what it's going to be, because they don't want to beat Sami either. So they're going to have him last the 10 minutes. I'm just saying it's more of a test for Braun, who has to be interesting for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Anyway, 205 was a okay, fine show. I believe that's where we started on my nonsensical rant, is you asked me if it was a good show. I agreed. It was.
Sure. Yeah.
Speaking of fun and interesting shows, we're recording this at 7 o'clock on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So this whole total nonstop deletion gimmick hasn't aired yet.
Can't wait.
But yeah, by the time anyone listens to this, it will have already aired. So spoiler alert, the Hardys win.
Damn it, now I can't watch it. Ugh.
I know, I'm just, what else should I spoil for you? Oh, Hornswoggle shows up.
Don't spoil anything more, please. I want to be somewhat surprised. I mean, I know one act that does show up, but other than that, I'm good.
Spoiler alert, the Decay is in there.
Yeah, okay.
is that better for you?
Sure.
Man, I was gonna give you one more. Now I can't do it because I don't want to spoil you anymore.
I know that there's an old school call in there, so I'm good.
All right. What do you make of the Steve Corino possibly going to WWE. Now, this isn't news or anything. Steve Corino might be headed to WWE. He had a meeting with ROH this week trying to get the Booker job. He's trying to get power in ROH, really. I don't even know if he's going to go to WWE. I think it's leverage to try and run Ring of Honor, basically.
I would agree. I don't quite know. You know, I like Steve Corino. I think he has a nice sense of history. I'm not sure. I mean, but then again, I mean, all the guys that they have on staff now weren't WWE products. I mean, you get Adam Pearce, you get the RD Evans, you get Jimmy Jacobs. You have all these guys around there. I mean, he can add psychology. I'll give him that much. You know, I think being a talent is different than being a teacher. And I don't know, you know, how much he's taught really on that level, especially to, I'm trying to view this in the point of view of what is he going to bring to teach people who aren't already wrestling fans to be better wrestlers, you know, because that's really who they're bringing in to train. They're training. The focus of the performance center isn't the guys that they're bringing off the road from other promotions. It's these guys that they're scouting, you know, at bodybuilding forums and Olympic athletes that they're bringing in to see, you know, what their conditioning's like and can we mold these people? So I'm trying to view it from the point of view of how does he mold a person who isn't ordinarily a wrestling fan? I think he caters to the wrestling fan or the person who's been in the business for a while. I think he'll be fine for that. I'm just trying to view it the other way. What do you think?
I think he brings a sense of both seriousness while at the same time some looseness to it. Like, it's the weirdest thing because I've been around Steve Corino. I've been in the ring with Steve Corino, and he's a very fun guy, but he takes it seriously at the same time. I think he's going to bring I mean, he's not Dusty Rhodes, so don't get it wrong when I say this, but he's going to bring back a little bit of what left when Dusty Rhodes passed away.
A little. And I know he likes Dusty, so I mean,
he worships Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
He worshiped that guy. So I feel like he's going to bring a little bit of that, but it'd be super interesting. Can you imagine walking in there one day and like William Regal is in one ring and Shawn Michaels is in the other, and then the other ring is being taught by Steve Corino, just the triad. And as Jason Albert walks around making sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. There's a difference between being a good performer and being a good teacher. And I've found that out in my other life.
Well, I think Greeno would be an excellent teacher.
I do too, because I think he has the mindset and he's very analytical on how he breaks things down. And you can hear that in his commentary. I'm thinking more of kind of the Shawn Michaels types, who was an exemplary performer and knew how to do it for himself. But I don't know if he can necessarily break that down for others. That would be my only kind of concern there. I mean, there's a certain kind of, I mean, I don't, it's funny because you hear people all the time go, well, he wasn't a star here. What could he bring? I never think the best teachers are the best performers necessarily, because usually one of the reasons people aren't as good a performer as they could be is they're far too analytical about how they're performing.
Mm-hmm. We got, obviously, we got this Roadblock show to talk
end
about.
End of the line.
Coming up. Roadblock, end of the line, sorry. Roadblock, semicolon? Colon? Semicolon? Roadblock, end of the line. What the main event's going to be. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. Twitter mailbag. We got some questions on the Twitter feed, at McListens. And we have the NXT Power Rankings make their return. The weekly segment makes its return this week. And then also, we have the top 100 match, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Main event of WrestleMania. What shall we get into next? You know what? Let's do our Twitter questions first. How about that? Is that going to be okay with you, sir?
I'm fine. You're running the show. I'm just kind of here.
Alan Thicke passed away.
Yes.
This week, which is sad. As I'm a big Dan Le Batard listener. Dan Le Batard hosts a radio show and podcast on ESPN. And Alan Thicke was just on the show last week. He was a regular guest on Dan Le Batard. So, you know, I watched Growing Pains growing up, and I watched How I Met Your Mother, and Alan Thicke made a lot of appearances. And, you know, he's America's dad for a while there. But lately, he was on the top of my mind from his appearances on the Dan Le Batard. So it was quite a surprise, and it hit me more than some other celebrity deaths do. But Lucha Undead on the Twitter feed asks, how much did you love Alan Thicke's reality show Unreasonably Thick? Did you ever watch that or hear of it, Jeff?
I've heard of it. I never watched it because I had no interest in his family. I always thought his personal life, I thought was a little skeevy, to be honest with you, at times. Because, it almost seemed like he and his son always went after the same kind of women. For me, Alan Thicke was always, associated with Growing Pains. Before that, Thick of the Night, which was the talk show that he did for a while. And I also associate him a lot, honestly, with 80s theme songs, like Different Strokes and The Facts of Life. So,
this guy wrote those two of the most popular TV theme songs. This guy was a songwriter before his son Robin Thicke hit it big.
Yeah.
That's where Robin Thicke gets it, basically.
Mm-hmm. And I think I saw like part of one episode once of the reality show, and I said, that's enough for me.
Rich asks, did Rob change his Twitter handle to McListens, thinking people will forget about the hat he promised to eat? Yep. That's it. Will asks, hey guys. What are your early Royal Rumble predictions? Jeff, what do you got for the Royal Rumble?
Oh, geez. You go first.
My biggest prediction, if I'm going to go out on a limb, is that the Royal Rumble match will probably main event.
You're not picking a winner of any kind?
Well, it's a star-studded show. I envision it being one of the longer Rumble matches, maybe ever, just because you got Goldberg in there, you got Brock in there. I feel like they're going to get to a Final Four, Final Six, and then it's just going to go on for a long time. Or maybe it won't. Maybe Brock and Goldberg are the final two, or two of three, and the third guy somehow squeaks out the victory so that Goldberg and Brock could have their third match. Which would be a weird battle since Goldberg won the first two. I don't really know what to expect. Obviously, it'll be the main event of the show. You can't put Brock Lesnar and Goldberg in that match and it not be the main event. It's going to be a big deal. And, the Alamo Dome, that's a big arena for those two guys. So if I'm making a prediction right now, it's that John Cena enters the Royal Rumble match himself and we get some type of interplay between Cena and Goldberg, and possibly that's where the Undertaker comes back, because I think John Cena, Undertaker, this is the year to finally do it at WrestleMania.
Okay, that's cool. I thought maybe they may go the route of John Cena wins the Rumble, Undertaker beats AJ Styles, and they may make it for the title. So that's how they crown him and have him tie Flair's record.
You could do it. Undertaker came back a couple of weeks ago to really hype up the SmackDown team for Survivor Series, and he hasn't been back since, and I don't see him being back until the new year. So maybe he comes back before Rumble, maybe he doesn't.
He could win the Rumble, too.
He could win it. What about that? Undertaker, Brock Lesnar facing off inside.
I think the winner of the Rumble, here's my prediction. I think the Rumble will, the winner of the Rumble, they will err on the side of making that the SmackDown half of the WrestleMania main event.
Sure.
There you go.
That's a big one. That's a good one. Good question, Mr. Rich. John says, who's an underrated wrestler that deserves more attention?
You mean in WWE?
Anywhere. Who's an underrated guy?
Oh, geez. There's a lot of them. There's so many guys on the roster I think are underrated. Even Cesaro Cesaro, Sami Zayn, I think they're all underrated. I think they're appreciated, but I think they're undervalued on the
At least you named one. I thought you were going to go that whole time saying, oh, there's just so many. Let me think. Oh, there's too many to name and not give me a name.
Yeah. Nakamura.
There you go. Shinsuke. Yes, he's underrated. Yeah. Shinsuke.
No,
Nakamura.
Not underrated. Undervalued. Underrated means I think that they're passing over something of talent that's there that they just haven't got. Okay. Apollo Crews. Sure. Underrated to me always screams, who's the young guy on the upswing that they just haven't really looked at yet? And I'm like, well, there's really nobody like that because the rosters are so thin that everybody's on every show. American Alpha to me are underrated on the SmackDown roster right now, although we all know they're really, really good. So
what the hell is wrong with Chris Jericho?
In terms of what?
Well, in terms of many things, but did you see him start this Twitter beef with the Revival over the week?
Yes.
This guy, you have Scott Dawson posting a GIF of the Revival giving the, what do they call it? The Shatter Machine.
Shatter Machine.
Cast back in NXT. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shatter Machine. Mm-hmm. And of course, half of the Shatter Machine is the Code Breaker move, the old skull to the knees gimmick. And Y2J retweets this GIF saying, good to know you guys are respecting your elders. Hashtag whatever. Something like some weird hashtag. I don't care. But this guy is calling out the Revival for stealing his move because it's part of their finisher.
When, well, did
first
you see
of all, that wasn't the Code Breaker, wasn't his move to begin with.
No. Did you see William Regal also responded? That's the one I retweeted. He goes, thanks, Chris, for reminding us how you invented everything.
Everything. Everything. We owe a lot to you, Chris Jericho. Of course, Chris Jericho no-sold that response from William Regal. But then you had Dash Wilder respond also. Chris Jericho saying, good to know you guys are respecting your juniors or your superiors.
Apologies to Mara Fuji.
Yeah, facetiously. Yeah. And then you have Dash Wilder reply, oh, yes, our apologies to Mara Fuji.
I think they're just being sarcastic with each other. I don't read anything into this, do you? I think it's just guys kind of, you know, tweaking each other a bit.
I read Chris Jericho being a dick.
Okay.
Being a huge dick. An asshole, some may call him. Making Canada look bad. You had Alan Thicke die, who made Canada look so good, and then you have Chris Jericho coming back and ruining it. He's a disgrace. He's a disgrace to Canada. Go back to New York, Chris Jericho.
Strong take.
It's my take on the Revival. Joe, final one. We'll do the final one here. Joe Gagne, former guest on the show. Has he ever been on the show? Maybe he called in once.
I think he did. I think he called in once, and it was on a post show, and we took it.
Should WWE do away with December pay-per-views, giving the audience a break leading to the Rumble?
Yes. Yes.
They should do away with December pay-per-views. They should do away with July pay-per-views. They should do away with April pay-per-views, unless WrestleMania falls in April. They should absolutely do away with having two. Two in December is ridiculous. Like, this show coming up, I'm like, I'm all pay-per-viewed out. It seems like there's been four in the last 8 weeks.
I would lower it to 6 to 8 and just build well to those and make those big deals, but they don't, because that's just the business in the model.
Well, especially now, you got to have one every month on the network. You got to have one every 30 days.
Yeah.
Got to give a reason to people subscribe. Yeah. And that's the thing. You have to do it that way. So, I mean, they're not obviously going to stop doing it in December, but this is too much. I mean, this roadblock in the line. And here's the thing. I've been excited for matches on every one of these pay-per-views, right? But if they would be condensed, I might be even more excited for the pay-per-view itself instead of just one match on each show. Because you got Roadblock coming up, and I'm hyped. I'm hyped, man. I mean, this Sasha Charlotte match, guaranteed 30 minutes. I'm actually excited for Braun Strowman and Sami Zayn. I could do without the Cruiserweight Triple Threat, but you know what? It's probably going to be pretty good. Chris Jericho, Seth Rollins, I can pass on that. Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns. Kevin Owens is in a big-time main event match with Roman Reigns, who's a guy who loves the main event spotlight because Roman Reigns seems to always deliver in these big singles matches. This is going to be a hype show.
You hyped for that big Cass Rusev pre-show match? Built with that awesome, awesome angle with Lana and Enzo? Come on.
Enzo makes his return here, right?
He made his return on Tribute to the Troops.
Oh, was he on that? I didn't watch that show. Who cares?
Oh, of course. Well, the military wanted to sing along with Enzo.
All right. So, okay. So you think like he's just going to be there on Sunday then? Like, it's not going to be a big return. Maybe he comes out at the end. I don't know. But
I think he probably leads to a distraction finish for Cass somehow, you know, giving Rusev the big boot and pinning him.
The one match you're most looking forward to?
Oh, Iron Man.
Yeah, I think the Iron Man is it for me. Braun Strowman, Sami Zayn being number two, and then the Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns match being number three. But hey, that's three big ones.
I'm interested. Don't get me wrong. I'm interested in the KO Roman Reigns one, but
I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch this show live, though. You know, so it's 5 degrees here right now. It's very cold. Probably had another 70-degree day, didn't you?
Yep. Although it may rain.
Oh, Oh, dangerous. Stay off
the
road.
Actually, it's kind of in the 60s right now, but kind of mid-60s, something like
that. Oh, wow. Poor baby. Poor guy. So it's 5 degrees here, and it's going to be cold all weekend, and it's going to snow again all weekend. The Northeast has been going through some big-time snow. The Midwest, more towards the north, you know, Michigan, where I'm at, and then Wisconsin, getting dumped on all this snow. It's craziness. Mm-hmm. So okay. I might be under a foot of snow on Sunday.
Good.
Who knows what's going to happen. I might be buried.
We've buried you enough over the past couple months with your absenteeism on the show and not eating a hat. And
here's the deal. It feels like to me, and it feels like to you, because we were so used to doing a certain schedule. Like, it feels like absenteeism just because we've been a little off and we had a week there where we didn't do a show, but really we've produced the same number of shows that we usually did.
Right. I'm actually just talking communication with you. That's all right. Okay.
A lot going on. It's a lot going on. It's a lot going on. But definitely, we're coming up on this Sunday, and then finally we have a break. We have a break from Sunday to the Royal Rumble in San Antonio. So
then we have that kind of
time to recover.
That kind of silly season for us too, where, you know, year end, what do we do for a show? Because you know that Raw and SmackDown aren't going to do jack squat for 2 weeks until they start the build of the Rumble. So let me ask you this: it's the most underrated Christmas song, or an underrated Christmas song?
Good segue, just shoehorning it in there.
Oh, yeah, I figured I would. Well, you went over with snow and stuff.
What's the most underrated Christmas song? Is there one?
Well, you know, the flagship went with what was all the worst. They went with the worst, which was Wonderful Christmas Time, which is
accurate. That's true.
Which is accurate. It's one of the worst songs ever written.
Oh, it's horrible. If it weren't for Paul McCartney, do you think that song would ever be played anywhere? Like, that's a song someone tries to make just to get in the Christmas game, and it's like never listened to. Like, someone throws out the demo tape.
I told you 2 days ago I was going to ask you this.
But it's Paul McCartney. I know you told me 2 days ago, but I thought you might more gracefully, you know, introduce the
subject. I'm not graceful. I get to the point.
Wow.
You wasted my time. All right, fine. Let's not see each other anymore. Great. All right. Then did you buy the woman jewelry like all the commercials do? You know, are you going to have one of those Christmas things where you bought her a necklace and she's going to, like that kind of crap, like Kay's and Jared and all those other things purport?
I did that last year. I did
that last year. Get her Alexis with a big bow on it? Okay, just checking. Thought that Flow Slam money might have come in.
Well, no, it ain't coming in. It started to come in, and I said, no, thank you.
No signing bonus? Okay.
I sent it back. Yeah, no. That big-time money hasn't coming in, but big-time money leads us into this week's NXT Power Rankings, because number four on the Power Rankings, Mr. Tino Sabatelli. Tino Sabatelli moves into the top four. Did you see the photo of Mr. Tino Sabatelli posing with his surfboard with one Mr. Nakamura Shinsuke?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those two side by side, I just envision Vince McMahon, you know, as he's one to do, you know, going through the old Twitter feed, and that picture comes up, and he's looking at Tino, and he's like, oh, I'm proud of this guy. I'm going to make him the next top star. But why is he posing with fans?
Oh, I could see him looking at him going, I'm going to give him a surfer gimmick. He's going to be the next Surfer Ray Odyssey.
Oh, no, he'd do that to Shinsuke.
Nah.
Shinsuke, can you surf? All right, you want to be the surfing Japanese fella? I mean, I was looking at that picture, and I'm like, if you gave those two photos, that photo of Tino and that photo of Shinsuke side by side with their surfboards to Vince McMahon, who's the one he's going to think he hired? Tino. It was fun. But yeah, number four on the list, because Tino Sabatelli, the main reason he's on this list, he knows who to make friends with. Make friends with the ones who are getting pushed. Hey, Shinsuke, maybe I'll work with you sometime on NXT. Maybe we'll have a little house show loop together. Why not? Get better. Work Shinsuke Nakamura. Get out there. This guy's going to be main eventing takeovers in a year. I'm telling you right now. Number three, Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong in the four-way for the NXT Championship Contendership. And all reports say, we're not going to spoil who wins. Some of you may already know. Maybe all of you already know.
But reports have it out that Roderick Strong was in straight up Roddy versus the world beast mode. Like, he carries that final four way, and it is finally his first like Roderick Strong performance in NXT. Are you hyped for the four way and Roderick Strong?
Oh yeah. I think Roderick Strong's great, and I hope they unleash him on promos a bit. I think it'll be great.
Number two on the NXT power rankings, Mickie James parlaying a loss in NXT, but a good performance into signing with WWE. This is the power of NXT, Jeff. Even the losers get called up.
Let's ask this question, because I didn't even realize that. I remember hearing that she signed. Is she possibly the person who attacked Nikki Bella?
Maybe. Hmm. Yeah. Has there not been a resolution to that yet? I thought it was Natalia.
No, they're kind of playing coy between Carmella and Natty, and that just screams to me that it's either Becky Lynch or Mickie James now.
Was it supposed to be, like, maybe I was just reading more into it, because I thought it was one of those simple things, like it wasn't going to be this big, long storyline or big, you know, I thought it was just Natalya trying to get on the Survivor Series team.
I thought so, too, and then they had a picture of Charlotte kind of playing coy and celebrating, so I think they were trying to make that a red herring, and then they brought up this story of Carmella and, well, Natty wasn't the one who did it type of thing. And to me, I don't think they're subtle enough to pull it off. It'll probably still be Natty at some point, but I could always just see them just go full on swerve and say, oh, Mickie James was there that weekend because she had the match the night before.
Yeah. Hey, I could see it. That's a good point. That's a good, interesting thought there, because I wasn't even thinking that was going to be, I thought it was done. I thought it was resolved already. And it was Natalya.
I thought they were laying the groundwork for this Becky Lynch heel turn by making her more aggressive against Alexis, and then like kind of shoving Dasha to the side when she came with the microphone. I was thinking maybe that, but you know what? Mickie James sounds as good an answer as any.
Yeah. And then number one on the power rankings, this is where our professionalism comes into play and mm-hmm. our planning ahead nature. Number one was the Revival and Y2J Regal feud. And
I'm glad we discussed that.
Yeah, we kind of already did that one.
Pre-show meeting. It's always great, which is, hey, how's it going? You ready to record? Yes. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, so the old NXT power rankings kind of goes out with a whimper. Sorry about that.
Have you decorated the house with lights?
Yes.
Oh,
nice. We have lights. We have a tiny Christmas tree.
Okay.
It is quite festive in the old household, because Christmas is coming. It's a wonderful Christmas time. Did you see what I did there?
I did.
Match number 10 on our top 100 countdown is Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania XII. We are finally in the top 10 matches. You can go to voicesofwrestling.com/str/top100 for the full list and see what we're going to talk about next week. John Cena, CM Punk, Money in the Bank 2011 is next week. But this week, number 10, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. I will start by saying this. I've never gotten Bret Hart. I'm not a big fan of Bret Hart. I guess I've seen a couple of Bret Hart matches live, but they were all in WCW except for one, WrestleMania Phoenix, possibly the worst Bret Hart match ever against Vince McMahon. So I have been witnessed to Bret Hart's worst match. And I don't even think his comeback that year was that big of a deal, even though others seem to think it was the most insane thing ever. I've never gotten Bret Hart. And this match, while good and interesting and kept me in it, I was far more interested in Shawn Michaels than I was Bret Hart.
Well, let me cut you off there. His comeback on that WrestleMania was big because he had a stroke. Nobody thought he was going to walk again. That's why it was big. I mean, him being functional in any ways was a minor medical miracle in itself.
I'm not saying it was a big deal for him and a big deal for his family or whatever, but like, I didn't need to see it. You could come back from your stroke and work out in the backyard for all I care. Did it need to be in front of WrestleMania audiences, given 15,000 chair shots, the chair shots to Vince that would never end? Come on now. Get out of here, Brett. I got Randy Orton matches to come see.
Jeez.
Get out of here.
I don't know. This match for me originally had a lot of heat to it. And rewatching it, I enjoyed other Iron Man matches that we've watched on this top 100 more than this one upon the rewatch. I found it. Look, the story is it was plotting so that it would take up the entire 60 minutes, and then you had to go to the 5-minute overtime, and that way Brett gets to save face that he lasted an hour. That's the story. My only thought was, man, it must suck to work in this ring, because that thing was hard as a rock, and it would just, I mean, the echoing of the springs and the plywood on that thing, just I just, every time they took a bump on it, I just went, oh man, I feel sorry for those guys. It's like going on an old mattress with absolutely no bounce to it. I think it's good enough. I just, it's just very slow paced to get that story in it. And it's more for the historical relevancy, I think, of the match more than the match itself holding up. It's still very good. Don't get me wrong. It's just, it's like, you never think of Shawn Michaels as technical, grabbing an arm and working a body part type of person. That was what half this match was.
Right. Do you, obviously we've done it twice now. The last couple of Iron Man matches have been the 30-minute variety, but they've also been involving the women of NXT and now the WWE main roster. Do you see this as being the new normal for Iron Man matches, only going 30 minutes, or do you feel that that's because it's been the women's division participating in that, and that's why it's been cut down?
I think for that, it's the women. I think if you're ever going to have another 60-minute Iron Man match, I think this is partially Vince's short attention span. I don't think he could last 60 minutes watching
and,
two guys
and go. The audiences. Don't be wrong. The audience.
Yeah, and the
too.
Audience. Oh no, the audience too, because of how we've been conditioned. You would have to have two exemplary performers. The status, and I mean, I could have seen Daniel Bryan as half of an Iron Man match at some point, maybe even against a Cena of some kind. Maybe not. But someone of those two's caliber to do it. But you would have to make a hard sell to Vince that you could take up an hour of time. Or AJ Styles. AJ Styles would be another one. I could see them trusting to keep an audience's attention for an hour in a match. But I think it would be a hard sell. I think it'd have to be a downtime in business, because that's what this was, in order to take the chance, in order to listen that, hey, we're going to take up an hour of pay-per-view time for one match. And I think all those things would have to come together at once in a perfect storm for him to say, yes, we'll go an hour. I think a half hour is fine for the women. I don't think it's any disparagement on their part, because, I mean, look, the first one that happened in NXT was great, I thought. I think this one will be pretty darn good, too. But I think, I mean, was one of the Iron Men we did half hour, was that hour, too? Was the Rude Steamboat one? Best of how many falls in a half hour? Yeah, I think that was 30 minutes.
Yeah. I believe it was.
So, I mean, I think from now on, this will be the new paradigm in terms of Iron Man matches, if we ever see these again with two single men.
Right, because I don't think we'll see it on Raw and SmackDown in an hour. And then you have these pay-per-views, and maybe I could even, if they want to do an hour-long Iron Man match one time, I think they could even do it, you know, kind of like a 205 episode where it's like an hour on the WWE network and it's taped after a Raw or SmackDown. I could see that being like a big crunch time event.
We had one on SmackDown, if you remember, on the top 100. We had the Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar one.
I mean, in the future, though, here, know, if they do another one of these as an hour long match, I don't believe it's going to be on a SmackDown or Raw, but I could see a special network event, maybe even on a house show. Take the cameras for an hour on a house show. And it's AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens, or, you know, some type of hour long Iron Man match as a network special.
Okay.
I could see that being the most likely scenario than being on one of these pay-per-view events or whatever.
I agree.
So it's very interesting. I just want to see when the men have an Iron Man match next, how long they give it, because I don't know if it would be fair to give them an hour, because then you're saying, yeah, the women can't do it for an hour. And I don't want to see anyone go for an hour, to be fair. But
I agree.
If they give the men an hour, and they've been giving Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley half hours, I don't know if that's going to be right. And I think it might cause some type of furor a little bit.
I don't want to see anybody in the WWE style give an hour long match necessarily anymore. I think, I mean, if you had Flair just chopping the crap out of a dude for an hour, I'd watch that every day of the week. But, you know, but that's my sensibilities. I admit that.
Yeah. The top 100 matches to see on WWE Network before you die. Give your thoughts on this match this week and your matches in the future at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. Send us what you got. as far as your favorites on the list.
Would you agree with me that it dragged quite a bit for you as well?
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because I thought it was just my dislike of Bret Hart.
No, no, the pacing for me dragged. I like Bret Hart. I'm a little bit more forgiving of him than you are, certainly. But then again, I was there for his ascent, and I thought he was something new and different, and I really liked him. And especially, you know, the matches with like Perfect, you know, for the Intercontinental title and things of that nature. I never found him to be a great promo, which kind of made me a bit disinterested. But, you know, I love Bret Hart versus Ric Flair. I think that's a great pairing too. I understand your hesitancy, but man, this man, and especially with the McMahon Lawler commentary, I mean, most of the high spots involve guys who weren't involved in the match. I mean, in terms of the ooh spots, I mean, you had Jose Lothario getting kicked. You had the timekeeper getting hit.
The top 100 this week brought to you by Dollar Shave Club, dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. Right now you can get your first month free, or you can give the gift of Dollar Shave Club to someone that you are fond of this holiday season. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. Your first month is free. Try out their amazing blades and their new shower gels, the Wanderer. I've actually tried it myself. I'm a big fan of Dollar Shave Club. Go try it right now for you or a loved one or just a buddy at dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. That's dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. Get your first month free right now. Jeff, give me post haste your best Zack Ryder impression.